Lord, we ask at this moment now that you clear away the distractions and the thoughts that may compete for our attention. And we ask that your Holy Spirit will move among our hearts, move upon us, will speak to us, that you will bend down and whisper in our ears in the way that only you can. We ask that you bless the reading of the word, that as it is read, that your message, that your love, that your life will come from the words today, and that they will inspire us. Bless this time that we have now in the presence of your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please stand if you are able for the reading of the word. Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Haggai, the first chapter, verses 1 through 11. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai, saying, is it time for you yourselves to live in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider how you have fared. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And you that earn wages to put them in bags with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider how you have fared. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You have looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because my house lies in ruins, while all of you hurry off to your own houses. Therefore the heavens above you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I have called for a drought on the land and the hills, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, on what the soil produces, on human beings and animals, and on all their labors. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Since Easter, we've been going through the Old Testament, mainly some of the more obscure parts of the Old Testament. We've gone through Judges, and through Kings, through Jonah, and the other minor prophets. And here we are nearing Advent season. And if you'll notice, there's only a few pages left before we get to the New Testament. So this week and the next 2 weeks will be the end of our series on the minor prophets. Now, I want to remind you that the minor prophets are not in chronological order, historically speaking. In other words, what one prophet might be saying to a certain group of people could have been a completely different generation than what we talked about last week. And that's the case here with the book of Haggai. Last week, we talked about Zephaniah, and Zephaniah was speaking to the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. Remember, they were divided. And then Haggai here, as the next, is just a page over, but he's addressing the people who were released from Babylon, who were released from captivity. Cyrus of Persia issued a decree saying they could all go back home. And then when they did, God had given them a command to restore the temple, to rebuild it, because they hadn't, because the first temple that Solomon had built had been destroyed. So the people come back out of captivity. They go back to their land, and they've been here for 15 years. They've laid the foundation of the temple, but they never finished it. After 15 years, it still wasn't complete. And that is the context that Haggai is speaking out of, and those are the people that he is speaking to. I think that even though maybe historically they don't proceed one after the other, one right after the other, I think that this is a good message to follow last week's message. Because if you were here last week, you remember that the gist of what Zephaniah was saying is that the people had become complacent, that they had lost their passion, and as far as God was concerned, they weren't they were useless. They weren't doing anything for him. And we talked about Jesus in the book of Revelation when he said that the lukewarm church, he wished that he could just spit them out of his mouth. And so Haggai here is talking to a people who have also been apathetic, who have lost their passion. And he's addressing that. So I think that that it follows up nicely with the message from last week. However, if you heard the message last week, there's a chance that maybe you got discouraged thinking about all the missed opportunities that you've had over your lifetime. And I don't want that to be the takeaway. Because basically what Haggai is saying here, this is a pep talk. This is a letter of encouragement. And he's saying it's not how you start the race, it's how you finish the race. Now, if you've ever seen a sports-themed movie from the 1980s, you know that any team that ever won is because a player or a coach gave a really inspired pep talk either before the game or during halftime, right? And so that's what Haggai's doing here. He's telling them, look, you haven't done what you're supposed to do, and I know why. I'm going to tell you why. There are three reasons why. But I also want you to remember, it's not how you start, it's how you finish, and it's time that you finish this. Now, I think all of us can look at things in our lives and recall times where maybe we started something and then we never finished it. Maybe we had enthusiasm or passion about something and it just kind of tapered off and we never completed the task that we set out to do. I know for me, one example I can think of, most of you know, I used to be in a band and we thought we were really good when we started off, even though we weren't, but we were really good at practicing. And we practiced a lot and we got better. And eventually we got the songs down exactly how we wanted them. We got some recording equipment. We started to learn how to use it. And we decided we're going to record an album, like a very good album that does justice to our songs. Well, we started this project several different times. And for one reason or another, we never finished it. Either we would get discouraged or we would lose enthusiasm, we would get distracted, and we never finished what we started. And I can look back on that and say that I deeply regret it. Now, the band never, you know, obviously took off and went anywhere, and I'm fine with that. I made my peace with that a long time ago. But I do regret that we never finished that project that we started. Because if I had it today, I could go back and listen to it and say, that's who we were and what we were and what we were doing back then. But we don't have that because we never finished. And I think that all of us can think about something in our lives like that, that there's something we never completed that we wish we had. And that's why this message from Haggai is so important. It's important for all of us in the way we live our lives individually, and it's important for the church and the work we are doing for the kingdom. And of course, it was important for the people of Israel that Haggai was speaking to. Now, there were three reasons why they didn't finish the temple, or why they hadn't at that point. And the first one, like I said, was apathy. And we've talked about that a good bit. Apathy is when you lose your passion, you lose your zeal, and you become complacent. And if you think about apathy, one thing it does to you is it gives you a really good talent for coming up with excuses. If you set your mind to do something and you really want to do it, no excuse in the world will keep you from doing it. But if you have decided that you don't really feel like doing something, any excuse you can think of will justify not doing it. And the people here in Israel had an excuse. In the passage we just read, the Lord said, you say that that this isn't the year. It's not the time. But I'm telling you that it is. And that was their excuse. Well, it's not the right season. It's not the right time. We need to wait a little while to do this. How often do we do this in our own lives? We come up with reasons not to do something, not to get involved with something. Well, it's just not the right time for me. And that's what the people here were doing. And God was saying, it's absolutely the right time. It's been 15 years. What are you waiting for? I'm a big fan of the book of Proverbs. And there's a proverb that says, the lazy man says, there's a lion outside. I will be slain in the streets. And that's kind of funny. It's a humorous proverb. But the point that it's making is that if you're lazy, if you don't want to do something, you'll come up with the craziest reasons not to do it. And that's what was happening with the children of Israel. And that's what God was telling them. You've got this excuse that just doesn't fly. And you have that excuse because you've become complacent and apathetic. Now, the second reason that they hadn't finished what they started was because they had unconfessed sin. And I'm sure that all of them had their own individual sins that they needed to confess. But there was another sin that they weren't confessing, a sin that all of them were guilty of. And God calls them out on it. God tells them, you cannot finish what you've started for me because you're doing it from a place of uncleanliness, of impurity. Look at chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. This is God speaking through Haggai to the people. Thus says the Lord of hosts, ask the priest for a ruling. If one carries consecrated meat in the fold of one's garment, and with the fold touches bread or stew or wine or oil or any kind of food, does it become holy? And the priest answered, no. Then Haggai said, if one who is unclean by contact with a dead body touches any of these, does it become unclean? And the priest answered, yes, it does become unclean. Haggai then said, so is it with this people and with this nation before me, says the Lord. And so with every work of their hands and what they offer there is unclean. In other words, God was saying, anything that you've been doing for me has been from an impure heart and unclean hands, and you can't finish what you started because you're not doing it from the right place. You don't have my blessing right now. And God is telling them he wants to bless them. If you go back to the passage that we read at the beginning, he says, you hunger or you eat and you're still hungry and you drink and you still thirst. You earn these wages, you put them in your purses and your pockets, and it's like they have holes. The money just disappears. And you wonder why you're not being blessed. And the reason why is because God is saying you have unconfessed sin. We can turn this around and look at ourselves and ask, are we missing out on God's blessing? And if we feel that we are, if we feel like we can't get ahead and nothing we can do is right and we're just constantly digging a hole, maybe it's because there's something unconfessed and unclean under the surface. And God is saying, I can't bless you. You can't finish your work for me if you don't get this straight. Now, like I said, they all had their own individual sins, just like we do, that have to be confessed. But they also had a corporate sin, a sin that they were all guilty of. If you look at chapter 1, verse 8, God says, go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house so I may take pleasure in it and be honored. What does that have to do with anything? Well, if you go back and you read Ezra, you read Nehemiah, you see that when the people were released out of captivity, out of exile, and God told them to go build the temple, he said, take this lumber with you. You've got all these woods that you can, these trees that you can take with you and use them to build my house, my temple. And here it is 15 years later, and they haven't built the temple. And yet he's telling them they have to go back up in the hills and get more trees. So what happened? They built their own houses with the wood that God had given them to start with. We know this because he says, you live in your wood-paneled houses, and my house has not been finished. How often do we do that? How often do we build up the things in our own life? We build our own houses. We make ourselves comfortable. We invest in what makes us happy and what we think we need. And we neglect the work of God and the work of the kingdom. The third reason why they hadn't finished the temple was because they were discouraged. If you read on in Haggai, it's just two chapters, so I encourage you to do that this week. But if you read on, you'll see that they looked at the temple that Solomon had built, the one that was destroyed, the first temple, and they said, we could never build a temple like that. And so that was one reason they were discouraged and didn't want to do this. But God is saying, don't look at that temple. Don't compare yourselves to that. What I'm asking you to do is something totally different, and it's something within your own means to do it. We do that in the church today. We look at other churches and say, well, that church is growing, and that church has a great outreach program, and that church has a great missions program or youth program. And we get discouraged, and we wonder why we're not experiencing the same things. And God is saying, don't do that. Know who you are and what you are and what I've given you and grow from that. And that works on an individual level too. You could be sitting on that pew right now looking at the person across from you and thinking, that person has it together. I will never be as close to God as that person is. But we don't do that. We're not in competition. We are all working towards the same goal. And God works on us all differently. He's given all of us different talents, different gifts, different graces. And instead of looking at what each other is doing, look at what you are doing. It's like I told the children in the children's sermon. Don't always try to beat other people. Just try to be better than you were. Try to improve yourself. If that is your goal, then God will give you the grace to do it. The people couldn't build the temple in the same way Solomon did. That was true. But the temple that they did build was the one that Jesus Christ would stand in and teach in and pray in. That temple had its own purpose. And these people had the privilege of building it themselves. And yes, they did finish it. This letter from Haggai worked. It encouraged them. And they did finish it. I don't have a projector up here with me. I wish I did, but I'll just try to explain it in a way where maybe you can visualize it. Somebody told me recently that the growth and decline of a church is like a set of waves or a series of waves. And sometimes, you know, when a church dies, it comes down from that wave and then it never picks back up again. But if you think about the growth and decline pattern of a church, it's like waves. And the first thing a church needs to begin to grow is energy. Or we could say passion. And that may be all you have. But if you have it, if you have that passion, you have that desire, that's all you need in the beginning. Because once you have that passion and that desire, then you start to think of programs, ministries, outreach opportunities. And as those ideas are born, you start to have leaders step up, volunteers. I'd like to be involved in that. I'd like to take charge of that. And so you start with the energy, the passion, then you have programs, and then administration and leadership. And then from there, you start to attract members. You see, a lot of times we look at the church and we think we need more members, we need more people to come in. It's not all about membership. It doesn't start there. It starts with passion. And then programs. And then leadership. And then you start to attract other people. You have that inclusion. Now, when a church starts to fall and the wave goes down, the first thing that gets lost is energy or passion. And once you lose that energy, then you lose your leadership. You lose your volunteers. When you lose those, you lose your programs. And when you lose your programs, you lose members. So the first thing you needed was the passion. That's the first thing you needed to grow. And the first thing you lost when you started to decline was your passion and your energy. And maybe we lost it because we got discouraged. Maybe we lost it because we had unconfessed sin. But in the words of Haggai, or a paraphrase of Haggai, it's not how you start. It's not what has happened before. It's what you can do about it right now. It's how you finish. This is a message for the church, but it's not just for the church. It's for us individually too. Last week, I ended the message by saying that you get one chance at life and the clock is ticking. And that's absolutely true. But the rest of that statement is, if you're behind while the clock is ticking, there's still time for a comeback. There's still a chance for a comeback. And the three steps needed to make that comeback are revive your passion, confess your sin, and avoid discouragement. If you do those things, you'll play an important role in rebuilding and revitalizing the church and doing the work of the kingdom here on earth. And in doing so, you will also recover and restore the temple of your own soul. It's not how you start. It's how you finish. The thing is, none of us, nobody here knows how long we've got. Nobody knows where that finish line is. So let us all press on so that we can finish well. Let us pray. Lord, we confess before you that we all have unconfessed sin that we've got to get straight, that we need to clear the air between us and you. One of those confessed sins is that we haven't always placed your plans ahead of our own. We ask that you inspire us, that you ignite a passion in us to do this, to place you and your will first and foremost on our priority list. We ask that you forgive us for all the times we've stumbled, but we also ask that we do not be discouraged by our past and our shortcomings. Lord, instead, encourage us, exhort us, encourage us with the power of your Holy Spirit to continue in love and to continue doing the work that you have chosen us to do. We all have a purpose that you've destined us for. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.